Thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast. We hope that this encourages and challenges you in every area of your life. We are in a series with Pastor Todd McIntyre on the purpose of marriage. Let's listen in as he defines the biblical purpose of marriage and the roles of a husband and wife.
Hey guys, welcome to the Men's Summit podcast. You know, we created this podcast because we want to help men become more Christ-like. Because here's what we know, when men become Christ-like, the whole family becomes Christ-like. You know, we've told you the stat before, when a child gets saved first, there's a 3.5% chance the rest of the family is going to get saved. When a mom gets saved first, there's a 17% chance. But when the dad gets saved first, there's a 93% chance. And we are on a series right now really talking about marriage. And last week, in episode 25, we talked about the purpose of marriage. And it was really part one of what we're going to talk about today. And we talked a lot last week about my testimony, about really how I struggled in my marriage. I struggled with lust. I struggled with fighting with my wife. I struggled with issues. And then I told you about 10 years into our marriage, I found a guy named Frank Seekins who helped me to figure out what the purpose of marriage was. And I got to be honest with you, as a pastor, I didn't know what the purpose of marriage was. I thought the purpose of marriage was companionship because it's not good for man to be alone. But we talked about last week how marriage really has no eternal value or purpose for heaven. It's all of marriage's purpose is right here on earth, to train us, to develop us, to make us more like Jesus. And we went through the first marriage, that it's not good for man to be alone. And we kind of shared with you that alone isn't because a man is bored, but it's because it's not good for man to be alone because he's vulnerable to attacks. And so God gave him a warrior alongside him, a woman to come and help him. And that word helper we shared with you last week is someone who can see your enemy. And that person is someone who can help you fight the battles for your soul. And so this week, we want to take it a step further. I want to take you to a scripture that really is a commandment for husbands that is a tough commandment, really, if you think about it from the way we're talking about it. And it's in 1 Peter 3:7. I'm going to read it to you. It says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." And I got to tell you, when the Bible says your prayers could be hindered because you're not treating your wife a certain way, that gets my attention. Like, I don't want my prayers to be hindered. I don't want anything in my life for God to say, if you don't change that, I'm not even gonna listen to your prayers. That would bug me. And so when I read this scripture, it really bugs me because it's giving me a commandment of understanding my wife, giving honor to her, treating her as a weaker vessel, so I can be heirs together with the grace of life. And really what I want to do is I want to show you really what that commandment is and what God's trying to tell you. Now, last week we talked about the purpose of marriage is to make you Christ-like. And I'm going to show you how this commandment is no different than what we shared with you last week. In fact, the only way to really get context of 1 Peter 3:7 is you got to go back to chapters 1 and 2 to understand what Peter's trying to teach us. Now, you got to remember, when Peter wrote this, there was no chapters or verses. It was just a letter. It was just a long letter of a thought that Peter had, that he was trying to teach his disciples what it means to be like Christ. So it starts off in chapter 1, where Peter teaches us to live holy and become like Christ. He reminds us in chapters 1:24 that we don't have very long to live on this earth, and the way we live on this earth matters. In other words, he says, we're like flowers of the field. We're here one day, we're gone the next. Life is short. And everything about life, because it's so short, we've got to be able to live a holy life, just like Jesus did. And then he goes on in chapter 2, and he takes it a step further. He starts to talk to us about our position in Christ, or our identity, that we are Christ followers. And we have to remember that because we're Christ followers, we're following Christ. We're going to do what he does. And he reminds us to remember that this earth is not our home, but a temporary residence. He says, don't get caught up in the worldly things of this world in chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. He's telling us that we've got to learn to be like Christ. We have to remember this world is not our own. Listen, guys, if marriage was built for this earth, marriage is temporary as well. There's going to be a day we're going to be married to Christ when we get to heaven. But God is using marriage to prepare us for that time when we get to our true home. He then teaches us in chapter 2 to respect authority and remember that we don't work for men, but we work for God. And how we deal with our authority on earth will represent our understanding and trust we have in God. In fact, in 1 Peter 2:17, he says this, "Fear God and respect the king." When we are respecting authority, our government, the police, we are actually fearing God. We're telling people who we are as Christ's followers that we trust God and we can respect authority while we're trusting God. And lastly, in chapter 2, he talks to us as slaves. And I kind of equate that to like employees. That when we're employees of some other person's business or we're working for another man, that we're all slaves for God first and foremost. We follow God first and foremost. But when we respect our employers, we respect our bosses, we're actually doing what Jesus did. And then he says there might be times in this way we're handling life. There might be times in what we're dealing with in life, whether as an employee or just a resident of our country or whatever, that we don't like everything that's going on. In fact, we might even suffer. And then at the very end of 1 Peter 2, he reminds us how Jesus suffered. And I want to read to you 1 Peter 2, 21 through 25. And it's talking about Jesus. And he says, "Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. He never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threatened revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow his steps." And then we get to chapter 3. And chapter 3 doesn't start off talking to the husbands. It starts off talking to the wives. And it uses the word likewise. Now, in the Greek, that word likewise means the same as what you just read. The same as what you just read, what Christ went through. The way Christ suffered and handled insults and adversity and suffering and struggles is the same way, wives. We want you to handle those things. And it tells the wife to respect the husband, to honor him, to treat him just like Christ treated the issues in his life. And then it goes to the man and it gets to verse 3. And again, it starts off with the word likewise. Now, what it's telling us is just like you read in chapter 2, wives, now husbands, you have to do the same thing. The way you handle adversity, the way you treat others is really the same way Jesus handled things. He did not retaliate when he was insulted. He didn't threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He trusted God to judge fairly, even when he thought he was misrepresented, even when he thought it wasn't true, or that's not true by what you're saying to me. He left it in the hands of God. He didn't try to fight back. He said, "For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering." This is how we have to handle our lives. He says, likewise. So husbands, going back to the purpose of marriage, the purpose of marriage is to make you like Jesus. And Peter right now is telling us, if we're going to be married, let marriage help us become like Jesus. And the way we handle our wives should be the same way Jesus handled adversity. So he says, likewise. Dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife. I want to talk about that word understanding. He says, it's my job to dwell with my wife with understanding. What does that mean? I got to be honest with you. When my wife and I are fighting, my first line of defense is to try to get her to understand why I did what I did. It's the first line of defense. I never ask her what she's feeling. I never ask her, unpack what you're saying to me because I don't understand what you're saying. Help me understand your heart. I always try to first and foremost get her to understand my heart. Because I think if she understood my heart, then she wouldn't be complaining about what she's complaining about. But that's not what God said. He said, first and foremost, live with your wife, dwell with them with understanding, and give honor to your wife. Now, that word honor is a very powerful word. That word honor literally means in the Greek, time. When we spend time with our wife, we are honoring our wife. When we give her the time she deserves, when we talk to her about her heart, when we're spending time with her, when we're going on dates with her, we're literally honoring her. But it really comes down to when you're doing those things that your heart is for her, and when your heart is for her, because honor also has to do with respect. It has to do with treating her with value. When you honor your wife and you're looking to understand her and you're looking to honor her, you value her heart. And when you do that, you're treating her in an understanding way. And then it goes on, as to the weaker vessel. This is an interesting language here, because I've heard a lot of pastors talk about the weaker vessel being that your wife is emotionally weaker than you or physically weaker than you. Can I just tell you right now, God's never concerned with the physical. He's always concerned with the heart. He's always concerned with the spiritual. So whenever we think physical about something we see in the scripture, we're probably missing it. And what it's saying is we got to treat her like the weaker vessel. Let me just tell you what the weaker vessel is. A vessel is a cup or a dish. And the weakest vessel in the Greek language is expensive. So really what it's saying here, treat her like fine china. Now, I don't know about you, but when I grew up, my mom put fine china on display. We were never allowed to play with the fine china. We could take cups out or we could take other plates out, but there's no way we were picking up that fine china. And the reason why is because it was expensive. I'm not just going to let my kids play with my china because it's expensive. And this is what Peter's saying. He's trying to equate our wives as the most expensive dish in our house. And the way we treat the most expensive dish in our house is we honor it. We don't just let anyone touch it. We don't just let it go out like it's no big deal. We literally treat it like it's powerful and anointed and honorable, and it means a lot. So we've got to treat our wives like the weaker vessel. You know what's interesting? Frank used to tell me, your wife is like fine china, but husbands, you're more like a thermos. You think about that. We can be thrown in the back of a truck, no big deal. We got dents and bruises all over us. We can handle it. But we don't treat our wives that way. And a lot of times what we do as husbands is we treat our wives like we treat our buddies. Ah, she should be able to handle this. It's no big deal. Get over it. But the reality is, she's not your buddy. She's not your friend. She's your wife. She should be your friend. She should be your buddy. But the reality is you don't treat her like you treat your other guy friends and your other buddies. Peter is telling us right here, we have to honor our wives, dwell with them with understanding, honor them as a weaker vessel, and that they are heirs together of the grace of this life. In other words, you're in this together with your wife. It's always interesting to me when I talk to guys and they're dealing with their marriages and they're treating their wives different than they would treat their small group. They can open up in their small group, but they can't open up to their wives. But here's what you did. You committed when you got married by covenant, and you cut covenant with her when you consummated your marriage. And what you said was this: you are the most important person in my life. No matter what the problems are, I'm willing to work those things out. We made a covenant. We made a promise that we would do that. And then when things get hard, a lot of us escape away from our wives, and we run to our friends. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a small group. It's great to have a small group. But don't forget that your wife is an heir with you in this grace of life. And if you don't do these things, Peter says, your prayers are going to be hindered. That's a big deal to me. I don't want my prayers to be hindered. So I want to ask you a couple questions. Is your wife the most important relationship in your life? Think about it. Is she the most important relationship in your life? Do you have other relationships that you value more than hers? Is your mom more important? Is your dad more important? Are your friends more important? Is your small group more important? Is your ministry more important? Is your job more important? Are the people at your job more important? If they are, you're missing this commandment. Do you protect her from your flesh? When your flesh riles up and it gets angry, do you protect her from that? Or do you just go off on her and say whatever you feel like saying, even if you know it's going to hurt her, because you do want to hurt her? Are you doing that? Do you pray for her and speak the word over her? Are you praying for your wife? If she's the most important person in your life, shouldn't you pray for her daily? Shouldn't you at least grab her hand and pray for her before you go to work? Shouldn't you at least take a moment where you just say, honey, can I pray for you? I know you're dealing with some things. Can I pray for you? Do you take the word out and just read it over your wife? Most of us guys don't do that. But I'm telling you, when we do that, we're actually representing Christ and bringing comfort to our wife's heart. Do you think about how you can bless her and treat her the way Christ treats the church? These are the questions we have to ask ourselves. And the reality is, most of us aren't doing that. Most of us have been so hurt because we don't understand the purpose of marriage. And we've been so exposed, and we have so much fear in our hearts that our wives now know stuff about us, and we don't want them to know it because we've been creating a facade that we're better than we really are, that we don't realize that our wife is the one seeing the unchristlike things happening to us, that she could help us see those things if we would listen to her, that we could actually be more Christ-like, which is what Peter's trying to teach us here in chapters 1, 2, and 3, that if we will honor our wives the way Christ honors the church, we will become more Christ-like. If not, let this be a warning to all of us that our prayers are going to be hindered. Maybe you're feeling like your marriage is just a grind. I know I deal with a lot of guys. I meet with guys every day that it just feels like their marriage is a grind. Then the only way to get through the grind is to remember the grind Jesus faced for you when he suffered on the cross for you. Hebrews 12 says, keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Why? Because you're going to go through times where you're going to want to sin against your wife, and you got to remember, you can't do that. I know it's a grind sometimes, but I'm going to tell you, if you will remember what Jesus did in his grind, it will help you get through yours. Guys, becoming Christ-like is the hardest thing you will ever do, because every demon in hell is bent on stopping you. Your flesh will scream at you to stop, and the world will entice you that what it offers is more important to you. You have to decide right now that you're willing to fight the good fight of faith and that trusting God's ways will work no matter what's going on in your life, and that God will bring you peace that will surpass all understanding. You're never going to find peace without declaring war on the enemy. I want you to hear this again. You're never going to find peace without declaring war on your enemy. Because true peace does not come because of the absence of war. True peace comes at the end of the war. When we've won our battles, when the devil and the world and the flesh no longer have control over us, that's when we'll walk in true peace. Because those things can't hit us anymore. We will be like Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, who sleeps through storms, who doesn't get afraid, who doesn't get anxious about finances, who doesn't get anxious about the circumstances going on in his life. He's able to walk in peace regardless of the circumstances. And this is where the word says, if you'll live like him, you'll go through the fire and you'll never be burned. You'll go through the water and you will not drown. It's not that you won't have circumstances. It's that in the middle of your circumstances, you'll walk with peace. But the only way we're going to get there is if we're walking like Jesus. And guys, I'm going to tell you right now, the tool that God's given you to teach you how to be like Christ is your marriage. The purpose of marriage is to be Christ-like. And if you'll allow whatever pain you're feeling, whatever suffering you think you're going through, if you'll allow it and you'll trust God with it, and you'll trust that God will judge fairly, and you won't fight the system, you won't fight your wife, you won't get angry, you just stay calm and walk in peace and trust God, you'll get through it. And not only will you get through it, but you'll thrive. And you and your wife will be a display of God's splendor that he will use to not only bless you and your kids, but it'll bless the generations coming after them, and it'll bless all the influence that you have in the people in your life today. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for these men, and I thank you for their wives. I thank you for their marriages. And I thank you that, Lord, you're using our marriages to teach us how to become more like you. God, for most of us, we've never heard anything like this. For most of us, we've just thought marriage was just about two people getting along. And when we don't get along, it's so difficult. It hurts. It's painful. It's the most painful time in our lives when we go through fights and hardships and difficulties with our wives. And Lord, I pray for these men that you give them the ability to persevere, that you give them the spirit to say they will not give up, they will not quit, they'll never give up. And they're going to fight the good fight of faith until the end. And Lord, when they get to heaven, they're going to know that they fought this fight and you're going to be proud of them because they didn't quit. And Lord, if there's a man out there right now thinking about quitting on his marriage, Lord, I pray today that he would repent and today he would turn to you and today he would trust you that he's not going to give up, that we're going to see this through, that it's that my marriage is more valuable than my feelings right now, than the pain I'm going through, that I can suffer just like Christ suffered and I don't have to quit and I can go all the way to the cross and I can go all the way to my death if I have to, but I'm going to trust in God and believe that God's going to do this for me. God, I pray for that man right now. Do you give him a perseverant spirit? Lord, bless him right now. Bless the guys. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed the podcast, be sure to rate it and subscribe to stay up to date with new episodes. If you'd like more info on our men's conference, please visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.